Welcome everyone to Dropkicks. I'm Dom Gibbs. I'm joined tonight by Hayden Green and our sideline comments man, sideline Mike. This is the first ever Southern Hemisphere and Super 14 rugby podcast. You're hearing it live. This is a very special moment. I'm sure you'll be cheering.
Well, it's not live, Dom.
You're not hearing it live, but
they download it later on.
You'll be listening to it live. You'll be live while you're listening to it.
We're doing it live now.
We're
live. You can probably tell.
Okay.
Because we don't know what we're doing, by the way.
We're here to share our thoughts and about rugby. We'll be previewing matches for the Super 14. We'll be reviewing news of rugby around the world, particularly Six Nations and the Sevens. We're here to inform. We're here to entertain.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Rundown of the evening. We'll do some previews of this weekend's Super 14. We're kicking off this weekend. We'll follow that with some news from rugby around the world and also other sports. We don't exclusively do rugby. We'll come with some more previews, some interesting weekly
stuff,
and then some more previews before we finally bid you adieu for the evening. If you haven't turned us off already. I'm going to throw it to my compatriot Hayden Green to kick us off first with a bit of a preview of this weekend's match of the round that we've decided. It's the Hurricanes versus the Blues, a replay of the first ever Super 12 game in 1996, where the Blues ran out winners over a very plucky Hurricanes team, 40-something to 30-something.
Yeah, and this is our game of the week. We feel that this is going to be the big, exciting matchup. The Hurricanes and Blues have had a long history of hatred against each other, and it wasn't. The Hurricanes have beaten the Blues.
Just the once.
Yes. Dom is a Hurricanes fan, by the way.
That's on Mike.
And so is Mike. I'm a Chiefs fan. We'll get to that later. Now,
hard luck story right there.
Yeah. Now, the Hurricanes are at the... I believe the TAB have got them as favourites.
No,
I have that wrong.
No,
it's $1.50 for the Blues and $2.50 for the Hurricanes to win. The Blues this season, they've got a lot of their All Blacks back. They've got Luke McAllister, obviously, and Kevin Mialamu, who is the... this year's captain.
Blues captain. Yep.
Yeah.
Grooming, you might say, for the All Blacks. Grooming.
No.
No.
The guy apparently to watch is Issa Nasiwa.
It's Nasewa.
Nasewa.
Sewa.
Sewa.
Like Rocco Thoko.
He's
Fijian. Yes, he's the Fijian fullback.
Oh.
So it's the
because he looks exactly like Doug Howland.
Yes.
The Blues may use that to their advantage. They may throw some, you know, make it look like it's Howlett, and people will go, oh, he's going to be easier to catch and tackle. He's going to pass some shonky
he's
balls.
He's going to fall over.
He's going to stop for a photograph. And it's not. It's I see a Nasiwa. Sorry, it's going to get me all thing. And they also have, the Blues, the most humorous name in New Zealand rugby, Tony Woodcock.
We had a guy at school named Woodcock. We nicknamed him Timberdick. Sorry.
That's... original.
Now, I was on the Herald today. The Herald have the unknown Super 14 soldiers for each of the teams. Ooh. They've gone through and they've picked a player from each team. Now, the Blues one is Troy Flavel.
Flavel?
Who?
Troy Flavel.
Flavel.
Is
that? From the shore.
They call him hardly a new... Are you serious?
What?
Troy Flavel.
Oh.
Flavel.
Flavel. Sorry,
it's my mispronunciation. Yeah. Anyway.
For a yellow card, Flavel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is I don't know why they're saying he's going to be so good. This is a guy who, a couple of years ago when he was playing for the Blues, in a mall, punched his own teammate, Kevin Mialamu. And was ridiculed around the world for
and
doing
didn't
so.
Didn't say sorry. Apparently.
Didn't say sorry. Bit of a dick. Yellow card. Flavel.
Mm-hmm.
He's no good at all.
So they got that one wrong.
Yeah.
That was the only player they picked from the Blues?
Well, this is just a standout. Unknown soldier from
unknown. Former All Black? Unknown?
Yeah,
unknown?
I don't know. I didn't...
Well, how long has he been
gone? He's never played Super 14.
Mm.
That's true.
That's true. Technically, it's just a team of rookies, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all of them new to the game. The Hurricanes. Now, this is... I can't understand. I would have actually had the Hurricanes ahead on this game. I think they're going to win. That's my pick. I'm picking the Hurricanes by 10.
I don't think the Hurricanes have probably got the type 5 to beat the Blues.
I was going to say front 3, type 5, yeah.
Yeah, but they're playing in Auckland, and they're playing against the Blues with their open, flary kind of play. And the Blues have been promising flair, they've been promising champagne rugby. But the Hurricanes, Jerry Collins, Jason Eaton, Lomi Fa'atau, Jose Aguirre, Ben Herring, actually. Ben Herring's out.
He's out for the season.
Mm. Andrew,
smart Zoe, though.
Andrew, I Killed a Seal Whore.
Yeah.
Clubbed It to Death.
Clubbed It to Death. That's a song that's
Raw. Chris Marsoi, Joe McDonnell, Ma'anonu, Shannon Paku, Conrad Smith, Rodney So'oyalo, Tialata,
littered with All Blacks.
Paul Tito, Tana Umanga,
13 in there. Starting Wido. Plus Lomi Fa'atau, of course, plays for
someone started. And Isia Toyeva.
That's right, the bolter.
The
man that Hamish McKay called Iceman.
Oh, really?
And now, on TV3 last night, they called him Ice.
Ice. I think that's his
ice,
name.
It's getting shorter,
ice.
Isn't it?
Just stupid. But, yeah, so that's the thing. I'm picking the Hurricanes to win this one.
First try.
Tana Umanga.
It's going to be very interesting because, in theory, the Hurricanes are unbeaten in Super 14 and unbeaten against Auckland. So I am personally quite confident because they're on a roll of one if you carry it.
So we're all picking the Hurricanes today, okay?
Not necessarily.
My heart says Hurricanes, but the Blues, man, they've got Woodcock, who's the best scrummager in the world.
Apart from Carl Heyman.
Let's put that down on the record. Heyman. The Blues have Woodcock.
They got Mea Lamu in the middle, who's one of the best hookers in the country. According to the All Blacks.
Let's put that down on record. The Blues are one of the best hookers in the country.
One of the top five.
We're going to have
the top five.
Yeah. That's the last hooker joke we'll make in this podcast.
Their weakness, I think, is at halfback, where John Senior is a Super 14 rookie along with everybody, but he's only played one or two games of Super 12 off the bench at the end of last year. And he's only 21, I think. He's a very young fella. Weakness there, and weakness with Tasessa. I've got no clue what I'm doing. Lavea at first five, who's a horse's rear end. But my heart says the Hurricanes, but my head unfortunately has to go with the Blues at home. Joe is pretty solid.
It's a good team. They did well in the NPC last year, of course.
I'd love Hurricanes win. And actually, some tiny little part of me agrees with the hate. Not some tiny part of me.
We got that on record.
We're going to forget that bit. And move on to... Okay.
To the next game.
Brumbies Force?
Yeah, why not?
Brumbies Force.
Yes.
I did.
This is in chronological order, by the way.
It's in chronological order. Yes. So after the Hurricanes Blues game will be the Brumbies versus the Force. I believe that's in Subiaco Oval.
It is.
In the Western Australia in Perth. I looked at this game and the Force. They are praying for a fairy tale beginning. And they've modelled themselves, I guess you could say, on the Brumbies. They were the bastard child of the Australian rugby teams. They were the last to get any players. They had to take the cast offs. They were a bit of an afterthought, really. And I think they managed to pick
this
up.
This is the Brumbies.
This is the Brumbies. Yep. Yeah. They got all the cast offs, all the bollocks players. Yeah, they based their whole ethos and everything around about team. And they were extremely successful. And
but that was under David Nusapora.
It was actually under Rod McQueen.
Oh.
Back in 1997, they first made the playoffs, and then And then Rod McQueen, Eddie Jones, David Nusapora.
Yes.
So everyone wants to be the Brumbies, especially the Force. They're not going to do it. They went about it the whole wrong way. The Force. Anyway, they recruited players. They were a bit hamstrung in that they could only take Australian players. They weren't allowed to go take any sort of any South Africans or New Zealanders, like unlike the Cheetahs, who could.
Why was that?
That was just the rule of the Australian Rugby Union. Said,
okay, no, yeah, no, you no have fun to be here. Available for Australia.
Yeah, have to be available for Australia. Okay. Similar to New Zealand, there's that where New Zealand makes dispensations for people like Lomé Fatau, who've been around for a while.
Yeah.
So they had to recruit from within Australia, and they basically went about stealing all the best players, seeing as most of them, I think, came to the end of their contracts at the end of the Super 12. And so they pilfered a lot from the Queensland Reds, and it got a bit ugly there for a while because they took some of the rising stars, Junior Palacesa, Nathan Sharp, some really good players there. So there's a bit ugly there, and because these people also went there to get the money, they were offering big contracts. They also went to, especially the people who went from the Bunburys, they all went there because they went, the Bumbies. It's going to be like that for the rest of the evening, I'm sure, as I drink more beer. The players that were non-Brumbies that went there, they're like, well, you know, we could turn this franchise into the Brumbies and win. It's a new franchise, blah, 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 blah. We can make it successful. And they're not going to be able to do that because...
No expansion team in any league in the world has ever come in straight off and won it.
No. Closest was, of course, the
Melbourne Storm.
Yeah. Who did it in their second year. They also recruited John Mitchell, not a popular choice because he's a non-Australian, and their whole thing was to get, you know, all Australia. And he's a bit weird. He's a bit kooky, I think you might say.
Well, yeah, New Zealanders know all about him being a bit kooky.
Brumbies, on the other hand, there's talk about them having a few of their best players out, the likes of Stirling Mortlock and Stephen Larkham, I think, was questionable, but they are now looking quite...
Well, they're odds-on favourites. They're $1.35 to win, and the force are only $3.
Carry on.
Sorry, I think the force have they're after one title this season, and that's the biggest crowd at Subiaco Oval, and they've been pushing it like you would not believe. There's stories galore.
Do you mean the biggest crowd at the Oval, or the biggest crowd in the Super 14?
It looks like they want to an Australian crowd record at the Super 14 debut. Apparently, a crowd of 31,000 is assured. The Australian Super 12 crowd record is 42,600. And that was between the Reds and the Waratahs in 2004. Subiaco is confident that they can nudge that, if not get past it.
Well, here's the thing: we haven't done any stats on it, so Mike, this is a thing for you to put in your sideline. Next week we're going to have what sort of percentage difference does it make by playing at home? What is the advantage you get by playing at home, playing under your own crowd? We want actual numbers.
Numbers, eh?
Yeah. Because obviously with an even number of teams, they're going to play an odd number of games. So some teams are going to have more home games in a season than others.
Yes.
This is obviously going to change. But I mean, there are some teams that are obviously going to have to play all the games away in South Africa, for example, or you know, something like that.
So you want stats for the whole Super 12, because I mean, next week there's only going to be one Super 14 game, which...
And half those teams will have losing records.
They will.
Yeah.
Well possibly.
Possibly. So yes, I'm going to give it to the Brumbies, despite what I thought I'd award them the butchest team names of the year award. Starting at the back, it's Adam, then Clyde, then Sterling, Matt, Mark, Stephen, George, Julian, Alistair.
Julian. Now Julian's not Manly.
Julian, Alistair, Jeremy, Adam, Jean, and Joel.
Okay, so they taper off at the end.
Yeah. Well, I actually mean they were the Butchers team.
But a pretty slow start.
Yeah.
They don't really climb to any great heights at all.
No.
No, not in fact, it was pissed out. They're actually going well the other way. But they're up against...
There's no island names in that list.
No, there's not a lot. They do have a couple. Johnny... and Julian Salvi is, I think, a possibly Polynesian.
Right.
But they also have Daniel and Nick and Bill, but they didn't fit my gag. Which kind of backfired with you guys taking the piss. So they're going to win maybe the unbutchest name of the team names of the year. The Western Force are James Scott Jr., Lachlan Digby Scott, Matt, Scott, Matt, Luke, Nathan, John, David, Brendan, Gareth, Ty, David, David, Chris, Josh, and Cameron. Well, on the strength of names alone, I am going to have to give it to the Brumbies again. Also, on the strength of their team. So, yeah, that's my pick. Gentlemen, sideline Mike.
Brumbies.
Yeah, I got the Brumbies as well.
Okay, I think we're unanimous there in giving that to the Brumbies. They're going to look like a pretty strong
now,
team this
speaking
season.
Of picks, now, speaking of picks, we have set up a virtual Super 14 account.
Account, yes.
And we're going to be making picks. If, through some quirk of nature, we actually have any listeners, you're more than welcome to add us to your list.
Please.
And compete against us. Mm-hmm. Compete against the genius football brains that we
genius
are.
Genius football brains that we are.
We
now, genius, now the, this...
now, the picks that we make, we are actually going to... We're like, obviously the first game we picked the Hurricanes, this game we all picked the Brumbies. These are the picks that we're going to put in on the account.
On the account, yep.
Against our names. So.
So, we will... those are the first two previews. Now, a bit of news... Green, have you got some news there from the Sevens?
No, I wasn't doing the Sevens. You were doing the Sevens.
Was I doing the Sevens?
Yeah.
I was doing the Sevens. Congratulations to Fiji. Did pretty well winning the Wellington Sevens.
Bulla Bulla.
Bulla Bulla. Knocking off South Africa in one of the best Sevens finals I've ever seen.
They almost threw it away.
It was pretty incredible. That last try of this Fijian guy, really fast, really fast. Not William Ryder.
No,
the only one I can pronounce properly in the Fijian team.
Sarivi.
And Waisali Sarivi, of course. But it was incredible. It was an amazing final into extra time, and the guy runs the length of the field to beats off three or four.
Go on,
he doesn't
mate.
Beat them off. he beats them to the try line. didn't beat off the South African players. He just beat them to the line. Jeez, that sounds even worse. There's no beating
line.
Of any South Africans.
He beat them to the sideline.
Beat them to the try line.
A try line.
Anyway, so he beat them to the try line. It was an awesome final. This was after beating a very young, very inexperienced New Zealand team that did extremely well to make it to the... but yes, quality effort. The next tournament, I believe, is this weekend in
LA.
In LA, which will no doubt be one of the best attended Sevens
and,
tournaments.
Again, we've got the TAB odds here that Mike got the TAB odds and sent them around. And I notice here that the USA is paying $1,000 to win at home.
Mm.
Wow.
There's only two teams worse than them. One is Mexico, and the other one is the West Indies.
Mexico keep kicking the ball.
They're <They're rear> boy.
Technically, I don't think that's illegal.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is too.
No, it isn't.
No. Why don't more teams do it?
Indeed.
I'd like to.
Because it hurts on an oval.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, only if you get it the point.
Too. Well, yeah. But Fiji are paying
and
the
races.
Fiji
are
favourites.
Anymore.
Fiji are favourites.
Yes, but New Zealand are second favourites.
Yes,
which
but,
I found really
but at double the odds.
True.
Now, is that because those All Blacks have been released to all those?
Super 14 players, I don't think,
are they in the squad? Are they?
Well, I know Dougie was dead keen, and he was and Titch was trying to get them to play.
Yes, but if he's playing on Friday night,
he'll struggle to make it to the US in time to
even with the time difference and all that.
And recover and train and
on the same odds as us. To be perfectly fair, England and South Africa.
Mm. I'd put my money on England. Actually, I think they're a bit of a dark horse.
Pretty tough.
Well, Australia. At $25 to win.
Yes, well, they
five times.
Worse. Well, they haven't done much in sevens for a long time.
Well, no, that's true.
A long
but,
time.
I'll tell you what. The smart money would be on Argentina. $10 to win. They're always sort of.
What about to place?
No,
well,
place.
A dollar each way on Argentina might do you good.
I think that'd be
each way.
Good, you're right. Argentina, they
win or lose.
They were narrow.
Well, if they're $10 to win, they've got to be at least $1,000 to lose.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, any more Sevens news? So we'll give you an update next week on the
that is to say,
success
a real update.
Of the New Zealand team next week. Six Nations.
Six Nations.
Do we have an update?
Kind of.
Sideline Mike?
Yeah. The first round was last weekend. Three games, as you'd expect with six teams. And they were all quite significant results, actually, I thought. I mean, as a New Zealander, I don't really... You know,
like any of the Northern Hemisphere
teams. Yeah, kind of that sort of feeling.
Except the US. I always feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
The Eagles. Yeah. American Eagles.
And they got the nicest uniforms.
They do have cool name. Eagles.
Red, white, blue.
American Eagles.
Yes, but they're not in the Six Nations.
No, they're unfortunately. Not. No, because so, they're one of the colonies.
So there was no real cheering for them at all.
Not a popular one.
The TAB has made $1,000 to win. The Six Nations.
Really? That would be money down the drain.
Yeah.
Biggest upset ever. America wins the Six Nations tournament.
Drop kicks, clean up at
Hey!
First, they'd have to get past England, who were quite impressive, apparently. I didn't actually see the game. They're quite impressive in beating Wales 47 points to 13 at Twickenham. Now, there's a few caveats against that, I suppose. Wales haven't won at Twickenham for 18 years.
But that's history. You can't take history.
Oh, you always have to take history.
How many tries did they score in total in that game?
Against?
In that, just combined, in that England-Wales game.
I think England scored 6, and Wales must have scored 1. So it'd be 7. Probably.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Yes.
You don't ask questions.
Sorry, I thought there was a gag there. I thought there was only like 4 tries scored or something the whole game.
Anyway.
It's just, what's his name? Who's the kicking now? Is it Johnny?
No, Charlie Hodgson.
Yeah.
All right. I won't take history into account then. But Wales were missing a few frontline players.
It's too late to not take history into account.
Okay.
It is. They're as good as the last game when they gave England a hiding last year.
But not Twickenham. I don't know, it must count for something, this history. Well, a bit of psychological.
It's not the same team.
I know it's not the same team, but you're playing for like Wales, and Wales haven't won in 18 years. Yeah. Well, England, you're playing for England, and your team is always, you've beaten Wales for the past 18 years. It must count for something, a bit of
info
in your game.
And Lawrence Dallaglio is back.
It's looking pretty certain that I think that England are going to go through this probably unbeaten.
After one game?
Yeah, I can't really see any other teams taking them on. Maybe France, but France lost to Scotland, of course.
France lost
big news.
So Scotland beating France. Bit of an upset, but I can't really see France, coming past this to win the tournament. But you never know with France, of course.
You never know with the French. What are the games for next week?
There was one more game. That was the Italians versus Ireland. Yeah. And Ireland just scraped through.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. $750.
This is at home too.
Yes, $750. Yeah, Lansdowne Road.
So they're not looking so.
Yep. Okay. So this weekend, France versus Ireland, Italy.
And
versus...
who are you picking? Sorry. Who are you picking?
Where is it? It's in France. I don't know where in France. I'm going to go for France for this.
France.
One. Yep.
I'm going to put my money on Ireland.
You think?
Home.
They're not at home. They're away.
No, they're playing in
my home.
Right.
Home. Okay.
Anyway.
Italy versus England. Italy playing at home. I can't really...
Might give them the edge.
Well,
750.
It could be a 3-point swing there for the home game, maybe.
We'll figure that out next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wales versus Scotland. Wales at home.
Scotland. I'm going
to Scotland. I'm going to go to Scotland as well.
I think they've got momentum and chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
It's such a tough one because you know that Wales is such a good team.
Yeah.
And they could just suddenly go, wait... Why did we lose to England? I think they're just a bunch of chumps.
No, but they just got injuries, man. The Ryan Joneses, the Gavin Hensons, they're pretty awesome.
Tom Shanklin.
Yeah, all right.
Tom Shanklin.
Chris Horseman, the prop.
Yeah. Right, Super Bowl.
This is me.
Green, tell us about it.
Super Bowl, to be perfectly honest, American football is completely my kettle of fish. I know so much more about it than I know about rugby. But overball is an overball, really, isn't it? You just throw one forward and one backwards. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers won this game by... He said that, and now he doesn't know what the final score was. It was 21-10. And Pittsburgh won that. Big game for the Steelers. They now have 5 Super Bowl wins for that franchise after 7 attempts at it. They equal San Francisco, who are 5-0 in Super Bowls, and Dallas, who are 5-8. I made up that nice number.
Like
I think
three
it's
or
8.
Four. That's 8.
Yeah, it's like 5. Dallas have been to the most Super Bowls of all teams.
Right.
Yeah. But we don't like Dallas, so we don't
know. Not at all. That. They're basically the biggest losers.
Now, Pittsburgh, I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk in the news if you follow this kind of thing about the officials because there was a couple of bad calls. Matt Hasselbeck got called for an illegal block even though he was tackling someone. He got called for a tackle and a block, an illegal block on the same play. It was stupid. But anyway, the Pittsburgh, they just dominated them. Hines Ward got MVP. He's a wide receiver. Caught 5 passes. Seattle dropped 5 passes, as many as Hines Ward by himself caught. And I got a few stats.
They had the goods on them early on, Seattle.
Oh,
the Seahawks.
The Seahawks look good, except that.
They're making easy
yards.
They had 43 plays. They'd run 43 plays, committed no turnovers, and only scored 3 points.
Yeah, just couldn't.
And they had the league MVP in Sean Alexander, rushing
champion. Well, they're making all their easy yards down their end of the field.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. Pittsburgh blitzed more in the first half than they did in the second half. However, they blitz 32% of the time in the regular season. They had the highest number of blitzes on the defense. That's when more than more than four guys cross the line to attack the quarterback. And in the Super Bowl, they blitzed on only 13% of their plays. So, I mean, from 32 down to 13. Seattle were just expecting too many blitzes.
Yeah.
So stats, leading up to the Super Bowl, Pittsburgh was the lower seed, the number six. They played the third seed, then they played the first seed, then they played the second seed. They held Cincinnati, which was averaging 26.3 points to 17, Indianapolis, which was averaging 27 points to 18, and Denver, averaging 24 points to 17, and then Seattle, who had the most in the league, 28 points per game they were averaging. They held them to 10. Just huge.
Well, that's just dominance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dominance.
Now, the play of the game, and you guys watched it, so you may disagree with me, and you'd be within your rights. You'd be wrong, but you'd be within your rights. The play of the game for me was, there were two plays, but the one that I don't like as much, but the one that's going to get a lot of coverage, is the Steelers. Lined up in a single back formation, just one running back. Antoine Randall-El, he's a wide receiver, like a wing, right out on the left. He comes round to the right, takes a handoff from the quarterback, runs with it towards the right, like he's going to run the ball. So the Seattle defense all start running towards him like he's going to get it. He stops running. He throws the ball down the field to Hines Ward for a huge completion and a touchdown. Antoine Randall-El is a wide receiver. He used to be a quarterback in high school.
It was definitely a great play. I thought it was very spectacular.
But not my favorite play. Not my favorite play in the game. It was amazing, mm-hmm. but they've done it before in the past. The cool thing about it was that they'd run Hines Ward on a reverse before, and it fooled the Seattle. So
that's right. Run, didn't it?
Yeah. This is the one that I like. It was they already had the 21-10 lead. There was 4 minutes odd in the quarter. They were facing 3rd and 6. 4 downs to get 10 yards. They were facing 3rd and 6 yards. They lined up in the shotgun formation, which is where the quarterback stands way back and they have to hike the ball a long distance back to him. And they hiked it back to the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. He pretended to hand it off to the running back in a sweep play, which is sort of around and in front of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Then ran quite fast, sprinted out. All the defense didn't follow the running back at all, followed the quarterback. Then, when they thought they were going to tackle him, he threw a shovel pass, sort of like just a little push forward, like a netball pass, to Antoine Randall-El, who had faked that he was blocking. He turned around, caught a quick pass all the way upfield, first down, kept the clock running, they won the game. It was a brilliant play, because it looked like it was going to... It's 6 yards, so it looked like it was going to be a throw. They fake the run, they fake the throw, they do the throw, and they get the yards. It was brilliant.
Hayden is a true student of the game, and... You need to have watched many more games to appreciate the intricacies of that play.
It's amazing! Now, you may be wondering, why in a rugby podcast are they bothering to muck around with this American stuff? Well, it's because it's the last game of the season, and it's the American version of rugby, apart from the American team that we were talking about
recently.
American
rugby team, yeah.
and we just like it. It's so cool. It's awesome. Big hits and stuff. And this is the last we'll ever talk about it. Until next year.
Until next year. Right. Moving on. Other sports. Does anyone have anything else they noticed in the sporting world today?
Does anyone else?
I've got one thing I'd like to mention. I thought it was quite funny. But okay. Green.
No, there you go. I've got a few.
Well, I just...
I've got a few.
Noticed,
well, no, I've got like two, okay. Three.
Very, very funny. A couple of things. This New Zealand chap... just noticed in the paper the other day, New Zealand chap in Taranaki, I think, takes people out off the coast in his boat, charter boat, tourists and that, takes them and shows them sharks. He throws a little plywood fin in the water and they can take photos of sharks as they are in their natural habitat. Anyway, this time last week, I think it was, over in Australia, there were 21 of Australia's best swimmers who were swimming out somewhere in the thing, and they had to be pulled out of the water because someone saw a fin And so they all had to. I think it might have been that Kiwi fella taking his tourist round, yeah. And he just tossed it in off the coast of.
Tossed it in. Oh, everyone got their photos? Everyone got their photos? Yeah. Hey, where's the fin?
Yeah.
Where'd the fin go? Like, hey, oh, damn, there it goes, across the Tasman.
Yeah,
oh, well, I don't.
Gone, yeah.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Taranaki, it's on the Tasman, so
it
could have.
It totally could have, and but it was very funny that these people were swimming away and then suddenly had to be dragged out of the water.
Dragged out of the
water. The boat
screaming.
Sort of went, ah, there's a fin! And hooned up beside all these people and dragged these Olympic swimmers out of the water.
They rerun the race?
That wasn't. Wasn't mentioned. No. I just thought that probably might have been an enterprising Kiwi having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Like screwing up the Commonwealth Games
Screwing up the Commonwealth Games preparation.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the Commonwealth Games, I've got some news here about, thank you, Dom. Tasman Lewis.
Yes.
And Jana Pittman.
Tamsin.
Is it Tamsin or Tasman?
Tamsin.
It's a typo here, but it's Tamsin.
I think it's Tamsin. My apologies, Drew.
It's all right. They are having a bitch fight.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, they so are. They're both 400-metre runners in Australia, and they don't like each other very much. Apparently, they've been arguing with each other for years.
Mm-hmm.
And their latest brawl follows Lewis beating an out-of-form Pittman in Friday night's 400-metre Commonwealth Games trial. According to Pittman, Lewis took a most unsportsmanlike delight in her misfortune. Obviously, she says on a radio show, obviously, with the cat fight and the bitch fight and whatever else was being said, and then after the heats, Pittman came out and said that was no competition. I was standing behind the blocks for the final going, I'll give you no competition, bitch.
These are 400 metre runners.
These are 400 metre runners.
They sound like boxers. They sound like Friday night fight. Yeah. Lewis versus Pittman.
Yeah.
The rematch.
Pittman then suggested Lewis, who has posed for Ralph magazine, was more focused on being a Could bikini be a box- babe
Ooh.
Than running. Meow. And keeping in with those...
Watch this space.
Yeah. Keeping in with that. On Saturday, you know what's on Saturday?
If you have pictures, we would also like to watch this space.
From the Super 14?
Apart from the Super 14.
Do you know what's on this Saturday? Anyone?
The Knights have finished.
Think more global.
Badly. Global. Is it the...
Winter Olympics.
Is it?
I was going to say the Pro Bowl, but the Winter Olympics. That's... Really global.
Yeah, the Winter Olympics are this Saturday. I didn't know.
Is it Turin?
It's in Turin. Turin is indeed. And apparently, the athletes don't like living in the Olympic Village. World champion alpine ski racer Bodie Miller.
Bodie, yeah.
Bodie, he's the fellow who said he raced drunk. Is it
in the drunk or drugged? He was marijuana. Yeah, it was marijuana.
He said he was drunk.
I thought he was
the one. No, the Canadian was the guy who smoked dope and then went on the half pipe and got gold. They took it away and said. Well, it's actually not
really.
Not exactly
performance enhancing,
is it?
Yeah. Anyway, he said he has opted out of the village. He says, this is a quote, "The athlete's village is really not a healthy living environment. The beds are really small and uncomfortable." He has his own motorhome that he takes on the international tour, and he's there, and he's living in his motorhome, which of course means that, like, athletes from not as rich countries are screwed because they're going to have to sleep in these crappy beds and not in their
Well, are they too small because he wants his harem with them, or are they?
It's all relative.
Well, just wait.
We will.
American figure skater Johnny Weir loved the village. He said, "It's cool to be in the Olympic Village because it's the Olympic Village. But I'm roughing it as the room is cold and dusty." He is a three-time American champion, American men's figure skater. "I'm very princessy as far as travellers concerned. I've been coughing from the dust."
Oh.
However, the village has another defender in Olympics, International Olympic Committee President Jacques Roge?
Jacques Roger. Roger. Yeah, sure. Jacques
Roger.
Beating out Dick Pound for the title.
Beating out Dick Pound.
Beat out Dick Pound for the title of IOC president.
Got to stop saying that.
Yeah. He said that he stays in the Olympic Village every single time he's been to an Olympics. And this is what he said. This is his quote. "I tested the mattress this morning," he said when asked whether he liked his room.
Don't go there, Don.
Wait.
With Dick Pound.
Wait.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, his next line is, "The acoustic quality of the room is very good."
Oh.
"You can't hear anything, And you know, for athletes, acoustics are very important.
Of course. It is all about acoustic. Wow.
And to prove that no one cares about the Winter Olympics, no one's going. Laura Bush is going with her daughter. One of the twins.
Fuzzy.
Yeah. She's going. Thingamy Blair, what's her name? Cherie Blair's going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Sounds like a sewing circle.
Yeah, it's the only guys who are going are Carlo Ciampi, the Italian president, and King Juan Carlos of Spain.
And Jacques Rogue.
And Jacques Rogue. Well, he won't actually be at the opening ceremony. He'll be testing the bead.
I thought another interesting New Zealand article regarding the Olympics, they said a big blooming headline, New Zealand team hampered, or New Zealand athletes hit before games even start. And apparently all of the, they said $15,000 worth of gear was stolen. But in fact, it wasn't actually gear, it was just gear of the administration staff.
Oh, was it?
No, the actual athletes.
Was it their bobsled? No. And if you stole the bobsled, would you need four guys to steal it? And when they all run and go, and run off.
Come back, it's out.
Well, they'd only make it 4 metres because it's on asphalt.
Yeah, that's right. And it's probably not even downhill.
Yeah, it's uphill. sorry, my last thing, and I know this is taking up a lot of rugby time, but the athlete of the week is, for me, Epiphany Prince. From Murray Bergtraum High School in the United States. She scored 113 points in a basketball game. More than Wilt Chamberlain. More than Kobe Bryant. She scored 113 points. However, it was a bit stink. The team they were playing, they beat 137-32. And that team that they beat have only won four games in their entire season. So the coach, Ed Grzynski, was...
Players make good coaches.
Well,
good
he players. Left her in. He didn't go, a 100's a good game, out you come. He left, go on, stay in, score a few more points over this team that's offering us no resistance.
Mm.
That's so she's the athlete of the week, but she's also the bad sport of the week.
No, who coaches?
Ed Grzynski.
Ed she might have
Grzynski.
Been. She might have been at the sideline going,
no! Get back
get
in there!
Get back in there! Score some more!
Need the record!
Yeah, on the record!
Ah, my lungs! or something. Anyway, that's the... that's the end of the news.
You think you're done?
You're whining like a little girl.
111. I can score 111 against them. Get out of there.
And it's only Tuesday.
Almost over. Right.
What's the next one on the?
We next have a couple of previews. It's the
Cheetahs versus the Bulls at Bromfontein.
Cheetahs versus the Bulls. This will be early Saturday morning.
I don't actually know much about South African teams, to be honest.
Does anyone really care?
That's a good point.
Well, I care in that the Cheetahs are...
Oh, yeah, the Cheetahs are playing. Very funny.
Involved in this.
Very funny.
Yes, indeed.
And they are, like, the new team with the worst name.
Oh, right. And they have a Kiwi playing for them.
Yes, they do, don't they? Have
Keith Lowen.
Keith Lowen.
Who
Keith
is
Lowen.
Actually not playing this weekend, apparently.
Unavailable?
He's out injured.
Ugh.
He's one of our number of high-profile Cheetah players ruled out of their Super 14 debut.
Are they going to have to keep calling them Cheetah players and not Cheetahs?
You'd think so.
I mean, if you reread that, a number of high-profile Cheetahs.
And what is the what is going to be the abbreviation? I mean, the Waratahs are the Tars, the Hurricanes are the Canes.
The Blues are
the Cheetahs. Blues. Will they be the Cheese? Or the Cheats?
Well, they can't be the Tars. They can't be the Tars.
No, they can't be the Tars.
Yeah, the Tars. The Tars and the Tars.
Could be the R's.
The R's. I like the cheese.
The cheats.
No, the cheese.
The cheese.
Yeah, the cheese.
We're playing the cheese this week.
Yeah.
Mm. But who's your pick, Mike? Remembering that this is going to go on our website.
Who are they playing?
No, they're playing the Bulls, who were absolutely... Bulls. Oh, who were the only good team.
The Bulls are the Bulls are the heaviest team in this Super
Yes, the biggest, yeah, biggest wow. team.
Biggest team.
Awesome. Cool. Yes. I'm definitely going to go Bulls.
I'm going to go Bulls.
Although, didn't the Cheetahs do quite well in the Currie Cup?
They did, they won it.
Indeed.
Oh, they won it?
Yes. Yeah.
No, I still think the Bulls are going to give them a
home. So do I, actually.
Yes. Super 14. Different atmosphere.
Yes. Super 14, it's a different atmosphere. It's
plus of all these high-profile Cheetah players who are out.
Well, like, possibly like because they played too hard in the Curry
Cup. Yes, yes. Yeah. Low and out.
But Cheetah's show we'll talk about that in podcast to come. The next game is Crusaders Highlanders at Christchurch. That's my one.
The game.
Now, this is massive. This is in Christchurch. So, I mean, the Crusaders have got home field advantage already. I'm looking around for my team list. Now, the Crusaders have named a team that has got so many All Blacks in it. Or people who were All Blacks.
It's not funny, is it?
They're
going to kill us.
And I'll tell you who they are fielding. And I didn't say this about the Blues. The Blues have got Kevin Senio's little brother starting this week.
Older brother.
No, it's his little brother.
The Blues
have. The Blues have. And the Crusaders have got Kevin Senio himself, who, I'm just going to throw this out there, they stole from Bay of Plenty.
Stole, ripped off, just tore away.
He didn't have to play for the Canterbury. He can play for the Crusaders, and then that's for another show.
But they threw lots of money at him. They bought him and his wife. They bought them.
I was going to go on a rant, but that's for another show. That's for another show. So the Crusaders are just all All Blacks. They're just, I don't know how many they've got in the squad, but, I mean,
they could be the All Blacks.
They could be the All Blacks. Yeah, it's not
fun. And, I mean, they're going to win the whole thing. They're the team that the TAB have said are going to win the whole thing. I said that last year. I said that the Crusaders are paying $3.25 to win at this juncture. And I said this last year on my blog, which I won't pimp here, but...
The Grabthar's Hammer.
Grabthar's Hammer.
No, you won't put that.
No, grabthar.blogspot.com.
Oh, Grabthar's Hammer at blogspot.
But I said this one. I said that the minute the Super 12 ended, I said, yeah, here comes Super 14. The Crusaders are going to win. That's who cares. It's dull. If they don't win, they're going to get through the finals and lose to the Blues or the Brumbies. No new team. No South African team is going to win it. No. It's going to be the Crusaders. Yeah,
that's right.
Because it's stacked in there. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid. The Highlanders will put up a good fight. Now, I got an article that said the Highlanders have got inside knowledge because they've got Ben Blair. They picked up Ben Blair in the draft. Ooh. Lord, no one knows how the draft works in the Super 14. Someone here's going to prove me wrong.
No. You can protect 22 players, I think, and that are in your franchise area, and the rest go into the draft, and then it's... Then the rugby union says, right, well, we want him to get more experience, or we want him to play, so he's going to go there.
You know how the draft works.
I do apparently know how the draft works. Well, I read it somewhere. I may have got it wrong.
You've read it.
I may have even made up
a bit.
Where
did you read it?
In the paper.
Okay. A paper.
Like I say, I may have made up a bit of it. it's irrelevant now. So yeah, Crusaders looking awfully strong. I think the Highlanders will put up a good fight. I think there's a bit more substance to them. The Otago team did bloody well, in the NPC.
But this isn't an Otago team. I'm lying. Sorry, you can't see my stupid grin on the podcast.
You get a quote.
Tim Boys from Southland, Jimmy Cowan from Southland, Ben Blair from Canterbury, Hoani McDonald from Southland, Ben Smith from Southland, Hale Tepole, Southland.
Do they have Neil Brew?
It's Tepole, isn't it?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Well,
they call him...
Tepole on the TV.
Tepole.
Hale Tepole.
But, well, Nisbo calls him Tepole, but who knows? Nisbo calls him...
Nick White from Auckland and Paul Williams from Auckland. So, yes. They're the only... non-Otago players. It's an Otago team.
And Paul Williams is injured.
Is Neil Brew there? He's a former Taranaki man, by the way. Because Neil Brew is...
That's the
Post and the Herald. They're all in fact stuff. You know, trouble brewing.
Oh, I get that. Oh, man, I love those puns.
Yeah, wow. I love
them. Wow, that's puns. That's really good.
Trouble brewing. Is he playing?
I think he's, he's like the starting centre, and he's bloody good.
He is good.
He's fast, and he's angry, and he's really strong,
Herald have told you to circle Tim Boys.
Oh, really?
Tim Boys.
What position is he? Is he a hooker or something?
Flanker.
Oh.
They say he brings a Richie McCaw type quality to the back row.
Ah, is he starting number seven?
Newbie not there?
Yeah, back row, yeah.
Is Newby
Josh Wackie and Craig Newby.
Oh, really?
Wow, so he might be...
Interesting.
Where would he play?
On the bench.
Must be. Keep an eye on them, though. Circle them. Circle
them. And our pick for this is obviously the Crusaders.
Yeah.
That's
going to hurt.
I think so.
They're at home. They're at Jade.
They will open up a little hurt on everybody.
They always start the season very slowly.
Always. Okay. Next up is the, the Waratahs Reds game on Saturday night. Grudge match. Ooh. Now, these two hate each other. They absolutely hate each other. Waratahs Reds. It went 10 years, and the final year of the Super 12 was the first time that Waratahs actually beat the Reds. At least during the regular season. I'm not sure, but no, they never made the playoffs together.
Well, the Reds have never made the playoffs, have they?
No, the Reds qualified first like 3 times in the first 4 years or something.
Really?
Stupid. Yeah. But they were useless every time and got crushed by everyone. Even losing to the Highlanders at home.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
It's an interesting game, this Reds Waratahs. I did some reading up on it. There's some funny stuff. The Crusaders, the Reds. I'm sorry, the Reds. It's so bizarre that Reds Waratahs, Reds Blue, whatever. The Reds were tearing into Wendell Saylor. When Wendell Saylor's a great Queensland player from the rugby league, and then from
he's,
the Reds,
he's gone, isn't
but now he's gone to the Waratahs, and so they tore into him, and some reading here. Apart from the QRU, that's the Queensland Rugby Union, focusing on Saylor and its pre-tournament publicity, including using his picture in advertisements which query why he turned his back on Queensland, Saylor was the butt of the jokes at yesterday's traditional interstate hillbilly luncheon in Brisbane. Anyway,
hillbilly luncheon.
It's classic. Anyway, there's a former Queensland and Test prop Chris Handy. It was a bit of a comic. He made a bit of a laugh at the Waratahs' expense, and I quote: "The state of Queensland is about to be overrun by invaders from Planet Del." I don't know what that is.
It's Wendell's nickname.
That's right, Del. Fresh from their bonding session at a secret training camp on Brokeback Mountain. Handy said, "The aliens come in all shapes and sizes, and many wear diamond stud earrings. These creatures are known to puff out their chests and make a lot of noise, but believe me, they are totally harmless. Be on the lookout for the insignia worn on the front of their uniforms, near where their hearts should be. They have tried to disguise themselves with letters on their backs, but it is the letters on their front which taunt them. HSBC. This stands for Huge Score by Crusaders. And refers to an historic event where they came within 80 points of beating a rival tribe." Absolute gold. So that's the Reds hoeing into the Waratahs.
Now, on that, hassling Wendell Saylor, saying that he's basically useless.
Yep.
He's still, until he plays for the Waratahs, he's still a Red.
Oh, but he's a turncoat. He left the Reds. He sold out, man.
Well, why did they pay big money to hold on to him if he was so useless for so long?
He wasn't when he was playing for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But looking at the numbers, the Reds are young and a little inexperienced. They've got some absolutely world-class players, including David Croft and my favourite Australian player, Chris the Pirate Latham. Oh yeah, the Pirate.
He's awesome. Reds are paying $60 to win.
Yeah.
$60 to win the Super 14?
The entire Super 14. They're paying $1.75. No, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. $2.80.
$2.80 to beat the Waratahs?
Against the Waratahs, who are paying
$1.40. Which is interesting because it's at Suncorp where they're unbeaten against the Waratahs. They do have some good players. There's some test players there. They've been got a bit taken to the cleaners by the Force, who took a lot of their players. But, you know, 9-1 record against Waratahs and unbeaten in Brisbane. They're looking... I'd like to back them. The Waratahs, they're a bit flashy. They're a little bit lots of, you know, rich, flashy players there. The Lottie Takeris, the Matt Rogers, the...
name another one.
Wendell Saylors.
Well done.
Oh, but also the Peter Hewitt, who must be the slowest inception man in the world.
I've never rated Wendell Saylor.
Wendell Saylor at all. I think he's big and dumb as... And he's not very fast.
I still think, though, that the Waratahs are going to win.
I think the Waratahs are going to win.
I'm not convinced. I think they've embarrassed themselves a bit with this bloody rubbish about the letters on their back, which we'll go into.
We'll get into that.
There's some shtick there. It's very funny.
We've got the Waratahs, so the pick is going to go with the Waratahs. But Dom, you can stand as him and the Reds.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
So you got the Reds. Pick.
I'm going to pick the Reds, but you boys are going to go against me on that one and pick the and pick the Waratahs. Yeah. That's cool. I think it'll still be it'll be for a local derby, not if you can say that. It'll be a good game.
I think it'll be close.
Much as Australian rugby is really boring, it probably will actually be a good game because they're both a bit crap at the moment. Like I say, but I think Australian rugby in general is pretty young and inexperienced, and you know, they've gone through a bit of a
Bad ideas.
Full of bad ideas and full of young new players. All the old people are dying.
One of the bad ideas would be the letters on the back of the Waratahs jerseys.
Oh.
And that is going to be the initials. Most retarded just thing I've ever heard of in terms of rugby. They've got numbers for a reason. It's what the position it's the position that you're playing. It's number 8.
Yeah.
The guy playing number 8 has a number 8 on his back. I'm not really surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got a PN or a JL or a... I don't know, I'm trying to think of combinations of letters and they're not coming.
V.
AV. Yeah.
V.
How am I supposed to know?
Is it WD.
It's absolutely stupid. 40. But Dom, what did the Crusaders fans do in the preseason game when they actually wore that?
They had a bit of a laugh at because this was widely advertised prior to the match. So some enterprising Kiwis. The game was held in Melbourne, I think it was. Yeah, Melbourne.
Yes, it was.
Which the Crusaders, I think, might even consider having as their home game every now and then.
That's interesting.
The enterprising Crusaders fan turned up and brought along their own interpretations of what these initials on the backs of their shirts might mean.
And for example?
For example, Al Baxter, the Waratahs front row forward, they had Always Backwards.
Matt Dunning was Marshmallow Dumpling, wasn't he?
I looked at that and I thought it was Marshmallow Dumpling and I thought that'd be really funny, but they had Marshmallow Donut. So I think they weren't as an enterprise.
Oh, no, Marshmallow Dumplings.
Dumplings.
Marshmallow Dumpling is so...
The Dropkicks would take Marshmallow Dumplings.
Yes.
Who else have they got on their team? I don't have a list of them.
Well, I've got Lottie Carey. Well, I thought Late Tackle. Late Tackle. Or Lousy Tackler.
No, I like Late Tackle. He was always the fella taking people in the air.
Yes. Now, they have Sam Norton Knight, SNK.
No, he's just NK. Yeah, it is. Make a kangaroo.
That's quite funny. Morgan Turinui was Morgan Miss Tackle Turinui. And he's a centre, which meant that's pretty tough to be Morgan Turinui. David Lyons, DL.
Don't look.
Nice.
Let's move on. Gizbo, what's next?
Right, coming up next...
Gizbo.
We get in.
Oh, yes, of course. Mackayisms. Hamish Mackay of TV3 is known for his idiotic, stupid comments. They're absolutely idiotic. Someone running to the goal line, his voice gets all growly like he's angry, like, hey, get into the line! And it just comes out of that. Like, actually, that was Wayne Grabowski.
Yeah.
He gets all angry as he gets closer. And he says stuff. Last year he said to Frank Bunce, Buncey, you been in any rucks in your career? Silence. The man's an idiot. This is not a funny thing. We're not the Pulp Sport guys having a bit of a laugh.
No. This is...
We want him to lose his job.
We're campaigning here for quality journalism. I mean, this guy... We'll get so excited, he gets so excited, and it's a try, he was pushed out at the 22.
Ooh. NPC final, Doug Hallett's juggling the ball forward, hits his head and so forth, scores a try, everyone's like, yes, it's a try, he says, no, it's illegal, that's a knock on, he's an idiot, he doesn't know anything about the sport.
Silence from Buncey, who... Hamish, did you see? Were you watching the same game?
He's allowed to knock it forward into his own head. It didn't touch the ground.
Watching the same game,
Hamish. You're an idiot. He deserves to be gone. So this section, from today onwards, will be Mackayisms. We're going to watch TV3. We understand that the free-to-air coverage has gone to Prime, but we're going to watch TV3 news and we're going to write down any idiotic Mackayisms. Hamish Mackay is the one who called Isaiah Toyeva Iceman. And then all the puns.
He should be banned from naming people as well.
Oh, he did. Read him and Weepoo.
Oh no.
There, we have to blame him on Hamish Mackay.
This is our personal appeal to hopefully TV3 executives are watching this and will
quietly shuffle them aside.
So next week, stuff on Hamish McKay. This week, be nothing prepared. But us being
I just looked up on Google about Hamish McKay and how bad he was, and the top hit which mentions him is your blog, Hayden.
Oh, that's awesome.
My blog at grabthar.blogspot.com. That's grabthar, G-R-A-B-T-H-A-R. All right, and now on to our next.
Okay, and on that note, we move on to the next game, which is...
Good segue.
Right, Cat Stormers, Joburg. Ooh.
Joburg
at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. Big Mike.
Yeah. Well, again,
he's just going to randomly change nicknames.
Oh yeah.
He hasn't given himself that nickname of Sideline Mike. By the way, Mike. We picked Sideline Mike.
We came up with
him. Yeah. We forced it upon him.
And I didn't really want it.
That was basically
even though I am on the sideline.
Mike wanted to be called the Fonz.
The Fonz.
I asked you not to mention that, but never mind.
But you cannot name yourself. The sideline Mike came from. We thought, well, you know, the Australian cricket, they have their stump cam. We have our sideline, Mike.
That's absolutely true.
And Mike will be, we intend to have him at matches, chasing players down the field, behind them, getting in-depth quotes as they're playing.
On that, before Mike goes into that, I should point out that yesterday night, I almost ruined the Hurricanes' entire season.
What did you do?
By nearly running down their entire practice squad.
Ooh. The whole team? Wow, that's a pretty big car.
I drove a pretty big car, but I turned the corner.
He had to swerve.
It was a...
Open the door. Yeah. I'll get you.
Where are you? Yeah.
You're not going to escape,
buddy. Read him and weep him.
Yeah. Sidestep my car. What are you doing?
I turned the corner. I was heading down this hill in the goat tracks that are the streets of Wellington. Turn this corner and the entire Hurricanes training squad is sprinting up the hill at me. And I had to slam on the brakes. And then they meandered out of my way and went around. And I drove around the corner and they were all lined up all across the road. And they were doing sprints up this little section of the hill around a blind corner.
And you didn't get an autograph?
Well, I mean,
you didn't get a quote? You didn't get a quote?
I could have got a face imprint on my bumper.
Right, we are meant to be Cat Stormers.
We interrupted Mike again.
Sure, I've got nothing to say.
That should be his new name, Mike Interruption.
Now, no, we know stuff about the Stormers.
Do we do?
Yeah, the Stormers have a pretty sweet season. They don't leave South Africa until week eight.
Now that's
week
poo.
Eight.
But that means they'll be on the road for a long time.
It's a long
after
road
that
trip, and yep. that.
Their season may start off on a high and then really...
A 7 or 8 week road trip.
Yeah, in week 9 they've
so
got
they've
a bye.
Got 8 home games.
And then a bye.
Yeah, in South Africa, yeah.
8? Well, 8, so actually, that can't be right because they in week 10 they play in Johannesburg. They play Timaru in week 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they just...
So,
yeah.
Stuff, thanks.
Thanks, Stuff.
Thanks for that information.
Maybe they did that just to catch us out, you know, just to catch those people who copied. Like, it's a plagiarism thing.
Yeah. Anything else on the Stormers there, Mr. Green?
No, I got nothing on the Stormers, other than they're probably the South African team that's going to do the best. And they're up against...
I think the Bulls.
They do have some good players there. Is Brayton Poulsen still there? They've still got...
I don't know the squads.
The bones of the old...
They're playing the Cats... The Cats are favourites, according to the TAB. $1.75 to win over the Stormers at $2.
That's interesting.
Picks.
Who's home?
Cats.
Hmm.
I'm going to go with the Stormers. I think I like them.
I normally like the Stormers. I've thought the Cats... I mean, the Cats, overall, are paying $100 to win the entire thing.
No chance. No, I think we'll definitely go with the Stormers. Sideline Mike pick.
Cats.
Ooh. Wait, did I pick the Cats? No, I picked the Stormers.
So the dropkick pick will be Stormers.
Yeah.
And
The final game.
Final game, Sharks Chiefs. Green.
Sharks Chiefs. The Chiefs are my team. They're going to win. They have got a very bad start to the season. The Chiefs are off to Durban, first of all. Then they play in Joburg. Then they play in...
Now, what the Chiefs always get the butt end of...
No, actually, they don't.
They don't?
It always seems like they do, but they don't. The Chiefs have not, in 10 years of the Super 12, this is the only... Well, obviously, this is the only time in the Super 14, but never mind. This is the only time the Chiefs have been to South Africa in the first half of the competition.
Really?
Wow. Since 1996.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And they do have a good end to the season this year, don't they? I think. Quite a number of home games.
A few home games to finish.
Yeah, quite a few home games to finish. I think they're one of the teams that has a lot of home games, and so they've got a bit of a bad start. They have to go to two South Africa games and then Perth before they get home. But then they got it home bye week and so forth.
They had a bugger of one last year. They did bloody well to make the finals last year, or 2 years ago.
2 years ago. But they always seem to have a bad draw. They are the lowest. No, they're not. They're normally the lowest of the New Zealand teams. This year, it's the Highlanders.
How's their team looking? Can you give us some...
The Chiefs, they're looking pretty good. I mean, I'm so one-eyed in terms of the Chiefs, it's not funny, and I've lost my bit of paper. The Chiefs have got... this is brilliant. I wrote this down. They have got... Not only have they got Sisini Anisi as fullback, they've got Sidibeni Sibubatu.
Fantastic. Oh, Sibubatu.
Sibubatu.
What a backline.
And I've lost the thing. They've got Mills Mulyaina. They've got... And this new fella. Where is he? I'm so sorry. I'm going to say this wrong. Lelia Masaga from Fiji.
Lelia Masaga. Cool.
And, I mean, he's also so fast. They've got all these fast guys. And they've got Anthony Tahana from Bay Plenty. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be... If they get the ball and it's an open field, no one's going to catch them.
No.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Brayden Paul. I don't care if you're... What's his name? That other
Brian American. Habana.
Brian Habana. They're not going to catch them.
No way. Sibubatu is got to be the most elusive player in the game anyway. Sisini Nisi is the fastest in the country, and he's just...
And I'll tell you what. Sibubatu is also the nicest guy. You saw him on the... After he scored those tries in the thingy, and he was... They interviewed him afterwards. Very quiet, very nice.
Yeah.
Not sure. Just genuinely nice
good
guy.
Person. Good man.
The Chiefs, away from home, against the Sharks, $1.65 to win over the $2.15 Sharks.
Now, Sharks were the absolute whipping boys of last year. The whipping boys of last year, they just were poo, but they were also, they've been the strongest South African team over the whole of the Super 12.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are too big, too fast, and too strong, and will...
And according to a recent news article, fizzing.
Fizzing.
Yeah. Oh, they've been practicing in raincoats.
Wow.
The Chiefs coach Ian Foster has had them practicing in raincoats to simulate the heat.
Cool.
So they've been out in the sun in raincoats to practice. Are we all going with the Chiefs this weekend?
I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
And that will be our make top four.
Because Percy plays for the Sharks. He's playing number 10, do you believe?
Percy.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Dusty on the wing. Dusty Noble is playing number 14.
Percy and Dusty.
Yeah.
That's nice.
They also have Butch.
To even things out.
Butch James on the no, he's injured, I think.
He is not in the starting 22 at all.
Mad as a, yeah.
Just to go over our picks for the week, if you're interested, we are Dropkicks. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for us on Virtual Super 14.
Just look at Dropkicks.
Which I don't know the URL for that. I think it's Virtual Telecom Rugby or something like that, .co.nz.
Telecom Virtual Rugby .co.nz.
Telecom Virtual, get that.
All one word. Telecom Virtual Rugby.
Telecom Virtual Rugby.
All one word.
.co.nz.
All one word. .co.nz. We are Dropkicks.
And our picks this week are going to be the Hurricanes against the Blues, the Stormers over the Cats, the Bulls against the Cheetahs, the Crusaders, the Brumbies, the Waratahs, and the Chiefs. Interestingly, the Crusaders are the only home team we've picked to win.
That is very interesting.
That is very interesting. That's a good evening from me, and a good evening from Green, and a good evening from Big Sideline Mike.
All right.
That was the first official Dropkicks podcast.